John, let's talk a little bit of Nikola Tesla and how your work, of course, echoed some of the things that he did. We'll also talk about his death ray and what happened there. But how close, finally, once you started to refine your Hutchison effect, how close did it echo what Tesla was doing?
It was echoing quite a bit. I followed most of Tesla's patents to the letter. Actually, I was lucky to find vintage electronic or electrical machinery in various salvage yards here in Vancouver, and had a great replication of his laboratory. And that's quite amazing, plus the patents and that, too, to follow that through. And it's very interesting because I got to know a gentleman that knew Tesla and had a lot of his diagrams and documents in his home.
Really? You know, the FBI or somebody raided his place after he died, so this guy was lucky that he was able to keep some of those things.
Oh, very much so. Some of this stuff has actually surfaced in the SBIR, DOD contract stuff in my when I was on the program, which is kind of intrigues me. I have it in writing.
How far advanced would you say Tesla was for his time?
Extremely far advanced. He was sort of cut off by J. Pierpont Morgan a bit, but he was pretty advanced. And the whole Star Wars program, or most of it, is based a lot on his findings in that, too.
Yeah, old JP couldn't figure out how he could make money on free energy, right?
Yeah, good old J.P. Morgan. That's
you
right.
Got
I know.
It.
Yeah.
You... Bob, let's talk about this in terms of the free energy. Let's spend a little time on that. Then we'll get into the weaponry and the weather modification, too.
Okay.
I agree with you. We should have this now. Except every time I go to the gas pump and I keep seeing these prices fluctuate and I see the greed and the corruption that's out there. You look at this disaster we had in the Gulf of Mexico over the last couple months. I keep saying to myself, there's no way they're going to take us down the path of free energy or even cleaner energy. Yet they could do it today.
Let me just emphasize something here. You were talking earlier about coils and magnets. The Russian Academy of Science experiment involved rotating magnets. That's the Searle effect. That involved free energy. So that's rotating magnetic magnet, permanent magnets rotating. Then there was Ed Leeds-Gowman's work has been replicated by a man named Matt Emery, a student at Purdue University, confirmed what Ed Leeds-Gowman said about holding magnets. And that indicates that Ed Leeds-Gowman really did know something about the laws of physics that the rest of us don't know something about. And so this guy, Matt Emery at Purdue, created a self-sustaining system that produced power and also maintained a magnetic field. And the physicists at Purdue University, except for one older fellow, wouldn't help him.
Well, that's probably true. And, you know, he did say once that he knew the secrets of the pyramids, so maybe he had them. So
Ed Leeds-Gowman used rotating magnets. If you go to one of his websites,
you're right.
V magnets, old Ford V magnets with lots of iron. He'd rotate those V, maybe a couple hundred of those magnets on a wheel, and then he had coils that he would place beside the magnets and captured the scalar energy and piped it into those coil blocks and moved it around, it appears. That's my analysis. Now, this has to be done exactly right, or those coils have to be resonantly tuned. You know, that's the thing. You can't just when John Hutchison replicated Tesla's work, he did so down to the letter. You can't just substitute any old materials. You know, for instance, in Tesla's original free energy experiment, he used very special mica capacitors, and they have a resonance that's very special. So you can't just use any old capacitor and any old piece of copper or any old thing. You have to do this right, and you have to know what you're doing.
Well, that is absolutely true. How, John, could he move down there in Coral Castle, or the Egyptians, and we'll get into the Egyptians in a second, but how could someone like Leeds-Gowman move these huge blocks of stone this way?
Oh, that's a really fascinating area because looking at his museum there, he's got some ancient radio equipment in there, bits and pieces of it. So it's maybe he was onto something like this, too.
Well, I just let me just indicate again. He had this rotating system of magnets, and he put the coils right next to the system of magnets. The coils are resonantly tuned to the magnetic field energy. Then they piped the energy out to those coil blocks. That's my analysis. So this is resonant capturing of coils.
What about what if it was zero point energy captured by minerals? It's kind of interesting to note, maybe for the Coast audience, that in 1996, December 31, Dr. Franklin E. Meade got accepted a zero-point energy collector that was accepted by the U.S. Patent Office. And I investigated that later on and found in around 2005 that IBM bought up all the patent rights to it. It's a principle using round spheres of barium titanate and cubes of it, which seems to follow the power cell stuff I do a little bit.
That's but pretty smart, though, at least, to have that. Have you patented, John, any of your work?
No, I never patented anything. I was advised not to patent it. I've been pretty free about it. I've demonstrated on television and showed many, many people the levitation or the crystal power cell technology. And I have been funded a few times by Japan and Germany. No bad energy there, just the funders had other things to do, and we're still friends to this day.
Are you concerned that someone out there can steal this from you?
No, it's open to the public. I mean, that's how I feel about it, and I hope that the people can run with it, to be honest.
You're one of a kind, John. What about, don't you want to profit a little bit from this?
No, just enough to get me by and buy some machine tools and hot dates, you know. One of those things. What the heck?